Welcome to Brand New Information, a pop culture and political podcast. I'm Suzanne from My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life.
I'm Jay from New Hampshire.
Each week, I'll teach my brother about pop culture.
I'll teach my sister about politics. And I think we'll all learn something along the way.
That's beautiful. Blue moon is always standing alone.
Is that our new theme song?
Yeah. It's the little mice from
Babe.
Those
are the mice.
Yeah, the cute little adorable little snotty little mice.
Yeah, they're cute, but they're like kind of sadistic. Like they laugh when Babe is like, pork is a nice sweet meat.
Yeah, they're like, you're going to get killed and you're going to taste good. I don't remember why we started doing that, talking about that.
It doesn't matter, because clearly this is an episode about the media. We're doing a deep dive on the media, so I can't think of any better way to start a media episode than the mice from Babe.
Yeah, for sure.
As I've always said, Babe is a representation of the new media environment.
It really is.
It was prescient.
Yeah, it was. That'll do, pig.
Mostly Pig in the City.
Babe, Pig in the City. Underrated as a movie.
Underrated, yeah. Not quite as good as the original, but as far as the sequel goes, really good. But you know what was the best sequel ever?
Adventures in Babysitting 2. Was there one?
No.
Was there
no.
one?
Paddington 2. Paddington 2 is one of the best movies that was ever. In fact, Rotten Tomatoes had it as 100% with like a lot of votes.
Really?
Might have gotten knocked down a little bit, but yeah, Paddington 2 is one of the best movies ever made.
Ever made?
Yeah, no, I'm not even pulling your chain.
You're not yanking the crank? Wait, so are you saying that or that's like common knowledge? Or is the media saying that?
That's the opinion of experts.
Oh, okay. Scholars maintain that Paddington 2 is the best sequel ever made, or movie?
Movie.
What?
Certainly best sequel, but one of the best movies ever made.
No, I don't think so.
Have you seen it?
I think we started, because I think you told me this like a while ago, and then I put it on for my kids, and they were like, what is this bull bleep? And then they walked out of the room. They weren't into it.
Well, your kids have terrible taste.
No. They like Friends.
They do.
Yeah.
And they like Jackass, too.
Yeah, they like Jackass. It is funny because Evie wanted to watch Frozen, and I was like, ugh, you've seen that like 800 times. Let's watch Friends. She's like, okay. And I'm like, that's funny. All right, so we're going to do a deep dive on the media. And just a disclaimer, when we...
Suzanne's a right-wing nut job.
No, I'm not. Birds aren't real. Okay,
you know, but that's satire. The guy created it as satire.
I know. So I went on a deep dive because Armchair and Dangerous, I think it is. So Dax Shepard's podcast, they do like conspiracy theories. So that Peter McIndoe, yeah, he just started it. He was like, what are the three most random words I can put on a sign at a rally? And he was like, cool, birds aren't real. And then he was like, yeah, the government has slaughtered 12 billion birds and replaced them with drones.
Billion.
And people, like, believe it.
Believe it.
With a B. I mean, it's insane.
Do we know that birds are real?
Yeah, we do. Because they're real. Like, I've
seen... Prove it to me.
Prove it to you? I mean, that is so stupid. No.
Well, actually, that's what happens with the conspiracy theorists. It's like they say something that's crazy, and then you say, no, that's not right. And then they're like, prove it.
I know.
So the burden of proof ends up being on the person who's trying to explain that things are not crazy.
Yeah, and that birds are real. And you're like, wait, what? How am I in this conversation that I have to tell you that birds are real? And there's this whole thing. He's like, well, think about it. Our whole society revolves around birds. Like, every state has a bird. And then he's like, Hillary Clinton was spotted with Big Bird 200 times in the last 5 years. And it's like, that's not true. But it doesn't have to be true for them to say it.
I'm pretty confident in saying that Big Bird's not real.
Pretty confident. You can't be too sure.
Yeah, you never know for certain, but I'm pretty confident.
Oh my God, how crazy would that be if he was real? That would be terrifying.
Like, there were just like Big Birds in the wild?
Yeah, or just even just one. He's like the Loch Ness Monster, like Big Bird.
Nessie.
No, that's sweet.
Prove to me Nessie's not real.
Isn't it? Ooh.
I don't know.
Sasquatch? Yeah, so my fear in saying like, the media, meh, is that I'll sound like a right-wing extremist QAnon nut job. No offense.
I mean, if the shoe fits.
I know.
Well, I've been ringing your bell about the media for...
Since 2020. Years.
Since 20... Yeah, the pandemic really changed things for me. And you and Mom have been saying, you can't trust the mainstream media. It doesn't feel like it's offering the right kind of information to us, and mm-hmm. you guys kind of poo-poo it and think that I'm going down the conservative path until right. it actually hit something close to home for you, which was the Heard Depp trial.
Right. So I've been thinking about this, and I thought about it, and if you guys missed all of those episodes, they're out there. I covered the trial every single week. And
they're literally 50% of our episodes.
They are. And when I say I covered it, like, thank God Judge Azcarotti let cameras into the courtroom. Johnny wanted them in there too. Amber did not. So she allowed
like,
cameras.
Thank God.
I thank our sweet baby Jesus Lord. I thank him every day that those cameras were allowed in the courtroom. Because I was able to just see... From soup to nuts. I've never said that in my life.
What?
Soup to
nobody,
nuts.
Nobody under 70 has said that.
I'm bringing it to the pod. Soup to nuts. I saw everything that happened. I saw every testimony, all the nuances. I saw all the points made, all the objections, everything. Every single minute of that trial I watched. And then so to see then... throughout what the media reported and what they picked up on each day to report was troubling. And it was a little bit like, that's so odd. Why would – that wasn't even the highlight of the day. And this is not even a good synopsis of what happened today. So I would think that. But then to see at the end when, you know, Johnny Depp won – to see what the media then chose to report and that they called – Amber Heard was still the victim, that it was misogyny, all of these headlines. I was flabbergasted. It was just shocking to see in real time how they had manipulated the headlines and manipulated the story. And I was like, wait a second.
I've been saying this for 2 years. We've seen this all through COVID where it's the narrative trademark. And if stories fit the narrative, they'll push them. And if they don't fit the narrative, they'll twist them.
Yes.
And this is, it's still happening related to COVID. There was a New York Times article by David Leonhardt, who's actually been fairly moderate on pandemic reporting, not really like hair on fire extreme and not just, you know, saying that it's not happening. But on May 31st, they had the headline that said, "Why Masks Work But Mandates Haven't" by David Leonhardt. And even in the article, Leonhardt says that masks don't work. So they even
yeah
they can't turn the page on their narrative. They're pushing that they have been pushing that masks are necessary, that masks are really important. And even when they're a very respected reporter is saying, wait a second, maybe they're not, they're still doing a headline that says, oh, no, masks do work, but the mandates don't. And we knew early on, there were a number of scientists who said this, where masks work in these studies on mannequins, but in real life, they don't. And all you have to do is look at an airport where, you know, people are lowering masks to eat and, you know, the mask is mm-hmm. covered in saliva and, you know, they're
gross.
There are big spaces, between the mask and the face. And
when you're like, put your mask on between bites.
Between bites and sips.
Tell me how that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So this idea that their narrative is that people should wear masks and be mm-hmm. safe. And even when they're trying to say that, okay, so maybe we're seeing that this doesn't work, they're still sort of like pushing the headlines toward confirming the narrative that they've already started.
So is it sunk cost fallacy? Is it that they're in this too deep, that they have kind of screwed up the narrative and what they've written and reported kind of all along? And now to say, yeah, guys, we got it wrong. Like that would be, they just can't do it. I mean, that's kind of what I thought for the Johnny Depp thing when I was trying to figure out what is going on. Yeah, and I was like, I know I'm not going crazy. Like, I know what I saw and I know what I heard. I know that she's bat bleep crazy and that she was the abuser. And, you know, that's anyone who watched the trial, that's kind of the conclusion that we all came to. And so then when I saw them kind of just misrepresenting the truth, I was like, what is their agenda? What are they protecting? Why are they doing this? And then someone on Twitter was like, well, obviously the media is going to protect themselves. That's where the defamation happened. And so I was like,
yeah,
right.
In that case, sure. Yeah.
And that's still that sunk cost fallacy. It's like, oh yeah, they're in too deep. They've reported already that Johnny Depp was a wife beater. I mean, that's where the defamation happened. So they can't now go back and say, kidding, we were wrong. It's kind of like the same thing. It's not a lawsuit for the mask situation, but it's still like, are they all going to say, wait a second, we got it wrong?
Well, and you wonder if it's because, I mean, the mainstream media, so the New York Times, the Washington Post, those are the ones I think of being sort of the, you know, held above the others. Mm-hmm. And they are catering to a very upscale liberal demographic, which is it a business decision to say, you know, we will just, these people are concerned about this narrative, so we will reflect that narrative to them? Or are they worried about, is it more nefarious? And they say, well, we can't reverse now because we've pushed this so far that,
right,
you know.
I think it's that. I think if there's ever a nefarious option, I go with that one. I'm like so cynical about this. I just think, oh, right, you're trying to protect yourself. Of course.
I heard Trump described as malice tempered by incompetence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like if he were smart, he'd be dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually think a lot of these people in these newsrooms aren't that smart. They're not necessarily getting the best and the brightest that they used to, because the media ecosystem is really changing.
Totally.
The very smartest people are starting podcasts, this one included.
Obviously. Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, you have now they were even referenced in the trial, online journalists.
Yeah.
So they're considered journalists that just aren't affiliated with a newspaper or a network.
Well, and
that's pretty.
It used to be like Perez Hilton, right? He was one of the original blogging journalists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he still is. And they still break news. And they still, I mean, they might not be like hitting the pavement, but they're researching all of this stuff. And just like, I mean, we did our own little thing here at Random Information. It was like I was just watching the trial and then telling you what I saw and what I thought. You know, I mean, that's a...
Well, and
I'm a reporter.
And you,
wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm a journalist.
We don't have any conflicts of interest at all. I mean, we don't even have any sponsors yet.
Wait, that sounds sad. We're holding out, okay? We're holding out.
We're holding out.
Yeah, we have no interest. No one's interested in us.
Yeah, there has to be interest in order for there to be conflict of interest.
Yeah. 0% interest.
And brand new information, you can get a 0% interest podcast.
No ads.
Zero
get your
down.
Podcast at 0%
zero down.
Interest.
0%.
Yeah.
Well, the pandemic really, really put that into perspective for me because I was looking at the data, and that's actually like a meme. Well, I've read the data, but if you're looking at the data and you're looking at the scientists who are looking at the data, they were saying something very different than the hair on fire fear mongering media. And there is a tendency for the media to amplify negative stories and sort of ignore positive stories. So we got the...
Yeah, it's all clickbaity.
It's all
like
clickbaity.
It's all how can we get eyes?
Yeah. So when cases rise, everybody reports on them. And then because things are cyclical, cases fall, nobody reports on them. And then there was the whole debacle of the CDC reporting COVID deaths as people dying with COVID instead of from COVID. And then that was actually a sort of a data scandal, and it inflated the death number because somebody who died, you know, unfortunately and tragically from a car accident who happened to test positive for COVID, or, you know, somebody who died of cancer who happened to test positive from COVID ended up being a, quote, COVID death. And then the media reports on it, and then the numbers are very high. But then we find out later with more, you know, data sleuthing that those people didn't die from COVID. COVID was not the cause of death. So
yeah.
I hesitate to bring this up because it's just so
Here we go.
Conservative sounding. But the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Oh, no. This does sound like birds aren't real.
This actually, so when this came out.
Or it sounds like Hillary's emails. I mean, all these.
How many have we seen that we've sort of pilloried when they first came out that later on we were like, whoa, there was a kernel of truth. There was some truth to that where we were like shaming it and, you know. And that's what with mom and all of her. You know, very liberal things.
And Sauk County Dems.
The Sauk County Dems. You know, she's got her hair on fire about something. And then later on, it turns out that the opposite was potentially true.
That just messes with my head, though. It really does.
Well, like because you're siloed into this worldview, which is a liberal elite worldview.
I think that even just talking about this, like even hearing mainstream media... My hairs stand up on the back of my neck where I'm like, ugh. It just feels so Trumpy.
Podcasting the next Trump rally.
Yeah, exactly. It feels very Trumpy. But I do think sane people are starting to question the media's motives.
Well, your issue, do you know what your problem is?
Wow. I didn't see that one coming.
Dichotomous thinking. This thinking that that it's either right wing or it's correct. It's either Trumpy or it's true, you know? And there is this vast ocean of gray between left and right. And
okay, and so this brings up a good point because that's what I was going to say is that even in the media, all nuance is lost, right? I mean, that's kind of the point. It's either... I mean, they like Hunter's laptop or whatever.
Which turned
it's like
out
you're
to
either
be verifiably true.
I don't even know what that means. I don't even really know about Hunter's laptop.
I don't either.
Like, I don't think I want to know
really,
what's on it.
I honestly don't care.
Right.
I mean, I really
like it
don't.
It feels like just a distraction. I listened to his book. I mean, it was good. It was a good book.
Well, there you go.
He was addicted to crack.
Seriously?
Yes. Seriously. He was in crack dens and stuff. But yeah, it just feels very like the more outrageous, the more clickbaity, the more, you know, just outlandish, the better it's going to do. And then so all the nuance, and that's what I really felt in the trial, that all those nuances that really are what made the case and like the reason that Johnny Depp won were lost.
I think it's about critical thinking. And we,
yeah,
going to Baraboo High School in Baraboo, Wisconsin, go Thunderbirds.
Oh, woo-woo, T-Birds.
T-Bird pride.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we had a really good high school education on critical thinking. A lot of my friends, my high school friends, are all free thinkers and don't get swept up into groupthink as much as sort of the average media consumer. I think seeing the other side is really important. I have a friend who didn't go to Baraboo High, and he was planning to, he wanted to be a lawyer and he was going to go to law school. And I said, well, he's like, I'm really good at arguing. I'm like, yeah, you are, but you have to argue both sides if you're going to law school. You have to be able to argue one side and then argue the other. He's like, well, one side is correct. Well, that doesn't matter. You have to be able to argue both sides. And I think that critical thinking skill is in really short supply among the people who consume media. And I think we were raised to question. I remember in Mr. Reed's rhetoric class, we were reading.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Rhetoric. And Mr. Reed. Yeah,
we were,
for sure.
We would read a whole bunch of liberal magazines, and then we would read a whole bunch of conservative magazines. And that was prior to.
I mean, he's the one who taught us about logical fallacies.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the tricks that people use to try to convince and manipulate.
And I think a lot of people don't have that. If they do have that background, they've forgotten it, because tribalism and groupthink is such a seductive thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved in politics, and I've, you know, been involved in the Democratic Party.
You walked for governor.
I did. I did. I walked. Stroll? Did I stroll?
Yeah, maybe stroll.
When you're in a group of like-minded people, it's really easy to start to see the world that way. And I remember when we were in, when I was an official in the Democratic Party, I was working with a lot of activists like myself. And it was often that the candidate that we loved, we would tend to love the more extreme candidate, but we would continually be surprised that the candidate we loved was not the one that would win the primary. It was generally the more moderate candidate. And we were thinking, who are these people? How, you know, how could these people vote for? But it ends up being that there's an entire world outside your circle, and it's really easy to forget that.
Totally. Especially when you're following politics, when you're looking at it closely, when you're digging into like all of the gray area, when you're trying to figure it all out.
When it's like your thing.
Yeah, when it's your thing. You don't realize like it's not most people's thing.
No. That's what I remind mom about a lot, is that most people don't care about, you know, democracy as a concept. Yeah. They care about the price of gas. That's the stuff that affects their day-to-day. And that's the thing that moves elections. So it's the regular people who are not glued to MSNBC every day that really drive where things go politically.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I do feel like, I mean, sometimes it feels hopeless. Like, oh my God, what do we do? Like, you can't battle the media, you know, to find truth. And where's the truth? And how does that happen? I don't know if it's because, you know, you spend time on Twitter like I did for the trial. And then it's like, Twitter is not real life. I mean, things that happen on Twitter just don't happen in real life.
Tweets aren't real.
But birds and their tweets are not real. But it does feel like, because NBC, so Savannah Guthrie had Amber Heard on. It was like a primetime video, and it tanked.
What do you mean it tanked?
No one watched it. Like a rerun of 2020 did better.
A rerun of 2020.
A rerun. So that's like 2400. It's like not even good. So that did feel, because when I saw she was having her on, I'm like, why? I don't understand, like, why give oxygen to this, like, horrible abuser, allegedly. I don't think it's alleged anymore, though.
Yeah, it was proven in court.
Yeah, it was proven. Okay, good. Horrible abuser. But then I saw it tanked, and I was like, okay, well, that felt hopeful. It felt like, no, we're not falling for it.
Who told
you
it tanked? You
can't trick us. LA Times.
Okay.
Article. I'll put it in the show notes. Hey, I have something for the show notes.
Wow. First time for everything.
I know. So that feels like, hey, yeah, maybe we're not going to fall for it all the time.
I think the newsrooms are starting to be run by kind of a different kind of reporter, too. There's the... Bill Maher talked about this last week, where he was talking about the millennials who are running these newsrooms, who are very focused on the social justice things and infighting and purity tests related to social justice. And I mean, if you're spending so much time doing that, how do you have time to like search for leads and do real investigative reporting?
Investigative.
No, yeah, you're right. Investigative.
Yeah. It feels like you're just focused on the drama. Like you're not actually going to report news and do and be a journalist.
Well, there was that big dust up at the Washington Post, right? Where one reporter, I got upset that another reporter retweeted a sexist joke, and then, you know.
Which wasn't funny, and it was sexist, and yeah.
Sure, like delete it.
Right. You know, like, well, yeah, it's like not everything has to be a crusade, and that's what it feels like. It's just like, take a break.
Maybe if everything's a crusade, then nothing is.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like.
Like, who are the Woodward and Bernsteins that are out there, like, you know, combing through CDC records or, you know, looking at FDA approval of vaccines and you know... And I know, yeah. I know I'm sort of inching toward the right wing here, but
you are.
But that's sounding, one of the big, we just watched Dope Sick with Mom and
Felicia Sanmez.
Okay. So yeah. That's the one who she ended up getting fired.
That who was fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just watched Dope Sick with Mom and
right.
Just all about how the pharmaceutical companies are basically controlling the government entities. And how is that?
And FDA.
Is that happening
and how
now?
In bed with each other.
Yeah. Is that happening now vis-a-vis the coronavirus vaccine? I would like to know from a real hard-hitting journalist who doesn't have a political axe to grind what is going on there, if anything. Maybe
hey,
nothing.
Get on that. Get on that. Do it. Yeah, I'm a little hesitant because it does sound conspiracy theorist, kind of like where is it a conspiracy theory and where is it just good old-fashioned
asking questions. I'm just having some questions.
Yeah, like where is that line? I think that line, like Trump has like blurred that line of questioning.
Well, yeah.
And healthy questioning and like just speculating and being like, wait, what's going on? Being a little skeptical.
To back up to 20,000 feet here, Trump came on the scene and it was awful. I mean, awful. I'm not a Trump supporter at all. I think he's just a horrendous, you know, politician and
person.
You know, person. Yeah. But I think the left then reacted so strongly to him that the reaction is almost as much of a story as him being bad.
Yeah, that is interesting because it, yeah.
Yeah, so if Trump said...
Yeah, we overreacted and we were afraid of everything surrounding Trump or like, yeah.
So he kind of brought out the worst in media. He brought out the worst in politics on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for sure he changed the Democrats because it does feel like the Democrats are somehow we've lost the kind of radical questioning. We've lost that thread. Like,
yeah, Democrats
aren't
used to be the protesters.
To be the people who,
we used to be the
the
rebels.
To question?
We used to be the rebels, and now we're the rule followers who, you know, whatever Fauci tells us to do, we do. And without the critical thinking.
Or the CDC.
Or the CDC or, you know, the FDA with the vaccines, you know, whatever they say,
which,
we do.
Okay, this CDC thing, just from being pregnant, like when I was first pregnant with Harper and I would look up like the CDC, I mean, you can't do anything. Like, if we lived our life by the CDC...
Aren't you not supposed to have sushi? Pregnant women can't have sushi?
Yeah, you definitely can't have sushi. No one can have, like, red meat. You know, like, you can't have meat that's not cooked to this, like, certain temperature. You can't have alcohol and caffeine in the same, like, hour. I don't drink alcohol, but I mean, a Red Bull vodka is completely off limits for everybody, according to the CDC.
Wow. So I had sushi and a Red Bull vodka right before the episode.
For breakfast. and a raw steak.
And a raw steak. And yeah. I played with jarts in the backyard.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's just a good summer decision. But yeah, so it's like I don't want to live my life by the CDC. I choose not to, thanks.
We always just kind of conveniently ignored the CDC.
Yeah, exactly, because they were like too much. It's like, settle down.
Settle down. But then, for whatever reason, mandates became a thing, and the mandates were tied to CDC recommendations. And that's when everything changed, where not only was the CDC putting out these very conservative, you know, very careful guidelines, now that we had government entities relying on those guidelines to put in place mandates, which I don't know about you, Suzanne, yeah, but I never heard mandate as a thing prior to the pandemic.
No, I mean, I've dated a lot of men, but no, I didn't. No, you didn't have to think about that at all.
And it was the Democrats who were the ones who are so into the requiring others to do things. And it just,
yeah,
to be a rebel, if you were a rebel, number one, you were, quote, killing grandma, which is, you know.
Yeah.
And number
which
two,
is not
you
cool,
were.
Because our grandma did pass away.
She did.
Not from COVID. We miss you, Grandma.
No, maybe with COVID. She had COVID before she died.
She did have COVID and she didn't even know it. We thought that was the end.
Yeah.
We thought that because she was in the home and Mom said, Grandma has COVID. And this was in 2020. And we were like, oh, no. Well, yeah. Grandma, we love you. And she was like, no, I'm good. She soldiered on. She didn't even know she had it.
Yeah, no big deal. Our 90-year-old grandma.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ended up questioning, why do I have to wear this mask all the time that I can very clearly breathe out the edges of? Like, if you question that, all of a sudden you're a right-winger. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that dichotomous aspect of it that's just, it's, and I think to bring this all the way around, I think the media... Yeah. Either reflected it or created that dichotomous thinking.
Yeah. Like with Trump. Somehow he was the...
Well, he was the catalyst for it, I think.
Yeah, he was the catalyst. And then he kind of saw that. I think that if... I mean, he's not an evil genius. I think he's just evil. But if he did anything, he probably saw what he had created. And then he just hammered it.
Thank
hammered
God
it,
he's
it,
not an
it.
Evil genius.
I know, exactly. But then he did have people distrust the media, which then in turn made Democrats be like, no, we are trusting the media.
Yeah, we'll trust it harder.
Yeah, watch us trust it even more.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I think that's a problem too.
Right, and as Trump fades from the scene, which he is and will.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Sure?
As he fades from the scene, all that's left then is the Democrats saying... the things that going hard toward the things that they did in reaction to Trump.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. Let's just go out on a limb and say shame never works for anything.
That's one thing that I've always not liked about our side is the tendency mm-hmm. to shame, just shame and to judge. Mm-hmm. And just because somebody has a different viewpoint from you doesn't mean that they're stupid, they're uneducated, mm-hmm. it's...
Yeah.
There's nothing good can come from that line of thinking.
Yeah. Or maybe that they're wrong. Maybe it doesn't mean that they're wrong either.
Yeah.
Birds aren't real.
Smart people can be wrong. That's the thing.
Mom.
But maybe in this media ecosystem, you can't be wrong, because if you make a mistake and tweet a sexist joke, then all hell breaks loose.
Totally. I mean, that's, we should talk about cancel. We should do a deep dive on cancel culture too, because that drives me bananas. It's like there has to be grace. There has to be grace in order for anybody to grow. You have to. I mean, not for Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby, but I mean, this is, it's all
a
spectrum.
How about Aziz Ansari?
It's not. Right. Like Aziz Ansari and Al Franken are not Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
You know, and so why on earth would they be treated the same. I don't know. But yeah, let's do another deep dive on cancel culture.
Well, I think that cancel culture has really infiltrated a lot of these newsrooms. And I understand not wanting to stick your neck out, because when you do, then it gets chopped off. And if you happen totally. To be wrong, you know, it could ruin your career. It could end your livelihood. It reminds me of the Red Scare back in the, you know, the 40s and 50s, where if somebody said you were a communist, then you lost your livelihood. There are so many examples of people who, you know, said the wrong thing, asked the wrong question, who then...
Wait, that was in the United States?
Absolutely. The Red Scare. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was McCarthyism. Mm. Joe McCarthy.
Oh, wow.
Senator from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, great.
So there's this, I mean, what a chilling effect on creative reporting, truly.
Yeah, you have to be wrong. And like, it's what I tell Harper, my oldest, who leans toward perfectionism. And I'm like,
I thought you were going to say she leans Democrat.
She does. She leans Democrat. On our way to school, I'm like, okay, how many mistakes can we make today? You know, like, because that's how you're going to grow. And that's just what we do. And I make sure to point out when I make a mistake every day. I'm like, oh,
this podcast is a mistake.
You're a mistake.
I wasn't supposed to tell you, but you were a mistake.
Oh, man. Mom, I'm going to be calling you after this.
You were adopted.
But it is. Oh, damn it. No, I was found under a rock.
That's what Dad always said.
I know. Found under a rock on the side of the road. That's so nice. So loving. And I mean, there are mistakes that you can make that don't hurt people, you know, and don't, I'm not talking about being, you know, racist or putting down a group of people, but you can make a mistake and then rise from that. I mean, we have to be able to do that.
Yeah, there's a, I'm going to be careful how I say this because.
Be careful.
I know. There are true victims of misogyny, of racism, of homophobia, of terrible, terrible mm-hmm. situations. There are true victims, 100%, absolutely. But I think there's a trafficking in victimhood that occurs mm-hmm. where it's like the people are very quick to ascribe victim status to their situation.
Mm-hmm.
It mm-hmm. may or may not true. It may or may not be true. And, you know, it's not for me to determine, but victimhood means something different now than it did 10 years ago.
Yeah. And the problem is it shuts down the conversation.
Absolutely.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
Like, there's no learning then. There's no bettering the situation. It just shuts down. Okay, so I guess if this does anything, because it's not like, okay, what's the solution? Here it is. This is how we fix the media. But if this does anything, it's just when you read headlines, maybe take a beat, you know? Take a beat and say, huh, what's their agenda? Because there always is one.
I would say on both sides. I would say on the side that you tend to agree with and the side that you tend not to agree with.
Yes. Exactly. So something that, yeah, if you see a promising headline, you know, take a beat, read the article and read through it, but take a beat and be like, okay, where are they coming from?
It's such an intoxicating thing to have your worldview just like perfectly reported back to you. It's such an totally. Edifying feeling. And I think that can be a problem. It's good to be challenged. It's good to be challenged with different points of view. It really is. And
yeah,
I think that having a perspective that you're willing to question and change ends up being way more enriching and valuable to you than having your worldview just reported back to you.
Totally. Minds are meant to change. Like that's kind of what they're supposed to do. Our brains are supposed to work. Right?
Do you have that on a pillow? Like,
I need a tea towel that says that.
A tea towel? What's a tea towel?
One of those like little kitchen towels, like the pretty dish towels that you don't really use, but they're
for cute. For company?
Yeah, for like my afternoon tea. Okay, well, I liked our media deep dive. We didn't solve the world's problems, but we're one step closer.
I think podcasts such as Brand New Information are a big step toward a more healthy media ecosystem.
That's nice. I like that. I do too. Okay, we'll do another deep dive on cancel culture. That'll be a good
question.
One.
All media except for the media that you hear in our podcast
in your ear holes right now.
Ear holes?
Yeah, that's gross. so gross. Love Moo.
Love Moo. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Brand New Information. If you liked what you heard, you can like, subscribe, share, print out copies to give to your family. If you don't like it, just try us again next week because we're trying to get better. We're always trying to get better.
Okay, but also rate it 5 stars.
Is 5 stars the max?
I don't know. Okay, rate it 6 stars.
6 stars.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at brandnewinfopod.twitter.com.
Oh, good job. And on Instagram at brandnewinformationpod.
Thanks a lot. See you next week.